Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'll begin today's program with a plea to you to pray with me for a man whom I know who is lost and in sin, and I cannot see his need of salvation, and this man has a very serious illness. Pray that the Lord will open his understanding. Pray that the Spirit of God will move upon his heart. And in these cases, we have to guard against being frustrated when people don't come to the Lord, when we know that salvation is of the Lord. And that's why I plead with you to pray with me for this man's salvation. Pray that the Lord will open his heart and open his eyes. The animosity and the hatred should be towards Satan, and that we should have compassion for the lost. That we would plead with the Lord, that the Lord would open this man's eyes, for they have been blinded by sin. The man is anesthetized by sin. He is bound by sin. He cannot see what sin is doing to him. He cannot see how frail human life and how uncertain it is, and how that it's so quick, that time goes by so quickly. So I ask the audience to pray for this man's salvation. Pray that the Lord will work. I read of a case in which a man was lost and in sin, and several friends got together to pray for this man's salvation. And the man was out in his yard one day, and he just suddenly saw his need of Christ. At that same time, Christians were praying for him. And Satan is the enemy. Satan hates man, for man was made in the image of God. And the Lord tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint, that this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And so if there would be fasting as well, I ask that you would go before the Lord, if he should move it upon your heart, to couple fasting with your prayers for this man's salvation. Please do so, but pray for the Lord to work. Now, I'm mentioning one case of which I know, and I'm sure that you have knowledge of cases as well. I think of another case in a man that I've given the gospel to, a man that spent some time in Vietnam, and he looked death in the face and was in the middle of combat and has a very hardened heart and makes jokes about dying and about what's on the other side of this life. And my heart is heavy for him. So you have loved ones. Sometimes we talk with mothers whose sons are in sin. Sometimes we talk with husbands whose wives are in sin. Sometimes we talk with wives whose husbands are in sin. We pray that the Lord will work and that the Lord will send forth his mighty hand and deliver these. And so I ask that you pray, that we will pray with you, though you've not called and enumerated your loved one's needs. You've not listed the number of loved ones that you have that are in sin. There are some people, they're the only saved person in that entire family. Now, you can go before the Lord and plead their case, plead their cause, plead for the Lord to save them. And once you've laid hold of the horns of the altar of prayer, please do not let go. Just continue to pray. It may be long in coming, but we will pray. Let's now pray for this one and for others. Now, dear Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, let us see the mighty hand of our God delivering this man, these men, from the bondage of sin. Bring them, O Lord, to a saving knowledge of thyself, for we know that salvation is of the Lord. We ask thee to work in their hearts. Lord, break Satan's hold. We pray thee to remove the blinders from their eyes. This, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's continue today on our program in looking at the book of Genesis, going through the Bible. We are now in Genesis, and we stopped on the previous program in chapter 3, looking, we were talking about the fall of man. Now, the provisions of for man were already made, that the Lord had prepared a place and provided a man for this place, provided a woman for this man, had provided creatures for man to enjoy, a garden for him to enjoy, a very pleasant atmosphere, and Satan shows up. Now, you will think that Satan shows up in only the corrupt, vile, wicked, evil places, but that's not the way the devil works. You have your home and there is peace. You have a ministry, and then there are the blessings of the Lord falling upon that ministry. And you think, why, everything is so peaceful here. Certainly, Satan will not find a perch in this place, but that's not true. Satan looks for those places that are that represents the character of Christ. And he looks for an end. He looks for an opening. He, as the camel would look for an opening in the tent. And once the camel gets its nose in the tent, it's only a matter of time when the rest of the body of the camel will be brought into the tent and the tent will come tumbling down. So you and I must be very aware of that. The Lord says, give no place to the devil. Now, Eve gave place to the devil by offering him a conversation. She made dialogue with the devil, and this brought down the entire human race, which was yet to come. And now when sin has come, then guilt comes with them, with it, and they are ashamed to face the Lord. There are many who are ashamed to face the preacher. The preacher represents the Lord. They are ashamed to face the Christian who is sold out for Christ, because the Christian represents the Lord. And therefore, they will run and hide and want nothing to do with the Lord's people. And therefore, we ask that the Lord give us the boldness. And sometimes they will ridicule us, and we need to be bold in our witness for Christ. When they start ridiculing us, put them on the defense. Make them back up. Tell them of God's love. Tell them of God's word, and let them fight with God's word. I say this, and then we'll move back to Genesis. But years ago, when a man came, he took God's name in vain. And I said to him, you oughtn't be taking God's name in vain. And he said, that's in your opinion. And I said, no, that's in God's opinion. At the same time, I had experienced this matter where I told a woman she took God's name in vain, and I just quoted a verse of Scripture to her. She looked at me rather shocked, walked away. The next night, she came back in great tears, having been rebuked all night long and hearing the voice of God's word being quoted. And so she asked for forgiveness. And I, of course, told her that she'd offended the Lord and asked him to forgive her. It also offended me, but it offended the Lord. It offended me because the Lord had shown me grace. And so I learned from that, that you do not argue with people with your own line of reasoning, but give the word of God, set the word of God before them. That's what we were talking about with Eve. The scriptures say when the woman saw that the tree was good, that's verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it wasn't left up to her to reason. It wasn't left up her to make the decision. God had already determined about the tree. Now, when you pit your mind, your conclusions against the Lord, you're saying to the Lord that your mind is just as great as God's mind. You can't even come up with a plan to create one little speck of dust. Not one single speck of dust can you create, and yet you feel that your mind is just as great as God's mind. Well, we see again what happened with the entire human race when Eve sinned. And, of course, she and her husband now are at odds one with another. He is blaming her, and she, of course, has to find someone upon whom she places the blame. This produced an argument. It's produced a divided family. They now have no longer a single focus, but they have a different focus. They now recognize that there is shame, something new. They had not known what this dirty feeling was. They had the feeling of innocency, just as the little children, you know, they don't have inhibitions. They're not restrained about how they feel about things. They go through life, and as long as they're young, they will cry wherever they want to. In the preaching service, they need to have the diaper changed. They'll cry. If they can't get what they want, they'll cry. I'm talking about the very small one, if they're uncomfortable. But as time goes on, you can train them. But Adam and Eve had this kind of innocency. If they want, the children want to laugh in service, they see something, they'll just do it. They don't have any problem with that. And you can't make them feel shame because they do it all in innocency. Well, Adam and Eve now have lost that innocency. And so in the scriptures, we find that the Lord said to them in verses 19 and following, how Adam was to provide for his family. Adam names his wife. He calls her Eve because she's the mother of all living. And also, Adam and his wife, they did make themselves coats of skin. The Lord did make for them coats of skin. The Lord clothed Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. He covered their naked bodies, which they now were ashamed of. And then verses 22 and following down through 24, the scriptures say, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know or to decide, to determine what is good and what is evil for him. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. It's very clear a matter about whence the source of man, that he came from the ground. And so the Lord drove man, God drove man out of this pleasant, comfortable place for man's own good. The Lord also hindered man from forever separating himself from God. The Lord prevented man from putting forth his hand and eating of the tree of life in a fallen state, and that would have meant that man would never, ever have been able to have this fellowship with God again, to have this innocency with God again, to have this redemption that God provide, had man gone ahead and eaten of the tree of life in that fallen state. And so death for man at this point is a blessing, because the Lord once again will restore that. He had provided redemption. He had provided a covering for man, and now he is able. Now man is able, in a certain amount of time, to have this restoration given to him by the Lord. And the Lord sees to it that man is not going to violate his law in this matter. So the Lord drove the man out of the garden and placed in the east of the garden cherubim, a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So the Lord is the one who provided this security for man, and man cannot step around it. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, Father, we ask for the blessings of the Lord again today, and I ask for your power, Father, on this message. I pray that it'll bless some heart, strengthen someone today. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we ask these things. Amen. And do join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. We'll be continuing to see what the Lord has spoken in.